hard to find in the morning papers. It's hard to find in the magazines. It doesn't matter what show you tune in. It's hard to find on TV screen, but it's on talk radio. Truth is on talk radio. Talk is all you get, and you wanna hear it straight.
Give it to me straight.
There's a place to find all the answers.
AMFM Shortwave Talk Radio.
The truth is on Talk Radio.
We're back. Second hour of the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stadtmiller, on this Monday, the 21st of May, 2007. And I don't know, folks, I'm sure that you did. Did you feel the love there? Did you feel the energy? And I was serious when I said that a lot of people in this country don't have any hope. And they really don't. They have been victimized, and they're thinking themselves as victims, not victorious, okay? And if you remove hope from a human being, he is just a bag of water. He's just a walking, talking, what do we say? You felt the same thing. You felt this for a long, long time. And I was serious when I said that I would drop off radio doing my own program and get out there for Ron Paul, because I've said this before. I work much better behind the scenes, and for you crypto people out there, no, that doesn't mean working for the New World Order. God, some of the stuff. And this is what happens with people when they don't have fact, they don't have hope, they don't have anything. Their minds just go all over the place. And I can think of nothing healthier for this country, and at least get a president. Could you imagine Ron Paul president and having governor school, all 50 governors, him talking to all 50 governors? Holy mackerel. So far, the little governor's meetings that these presidents have been having have been basically marching to the tune of globalism. Could you imagine a president like Ron Paul telling these state governors, hey, look, you know, here's the deal, national sovereignty, you know, Let's cut out the deal here. We're shipping jobs overseas. You know, one thing I wanted to mention to Jesse, we only had him on for an hour, but the one thing I wanted to mention was that in this mix, and he's talked about the North American Union, Mr. Paul has, a lot of people in this country don't understand what globalization is and the process. And that's why I thought it important to bring up the C-SPAN deal, is because here's people that think that they're politically savvy, that they know what's going on in their life and their government, and they don't know anything. But to hear Friday morning at 6 o'clock in the morning and for a solid hour, people going off about this immigration reform, supposedly, and all it is a quietly, carefully packaged amnesty deal, people across this country, and I don't care what their political affiliations were, I heard from black liberals in New York. I heard people saying George Bush. I heard the T word mentioned. Oh, my goodness, treason. That this man is committing treason against the American people. I heard another caller. And these aren't the Budweiser boys with one tooth sticking out of their face. No, these were well-read, very measured people in their speech pattern. You know, I'm in radio. I can hear this. One guy called in and said, I hate to say this, he said, but I think it's time for the second American Revolution. Now, do you think Ron Paul has a shot for 2008 if people can hear what Ron Paul's about? I'm ready to jump on his campaign wagon. All right, we'll break here. When we get back, I'm going to play his speech in its entirety. We'll be right back.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force.
Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments. No refinancing and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
All right, folks, we are back. Listeners, did you hear what some of the people were saying, that they didn't know who Ron Paul was? And the energy that is coming off of this, they only expected, sincerely, they only expected maybe 300 people at this fundraiser down at the Texas Museum Saturday night. 750 people were there. And the energy, I mean, you'll hear it, okay? You'll hear the energy. His speech, we've got it here. It's 17 minutes and 38 seconds, and when I get back and done with this, I'll give kudos to the guy that sent this over to us. We appreciate it very much. But for those out there that have never heard Ron Paul, aside from these debates out there, or maybe you even haven't heard him yet, this is not a politician that you're hearing. You're going to hear a statesman, somebody that loves this country very much. If I can get this thing to play. And here we go. I think. Sure, it's there. Tell me it's there. It's not there. Well, what the hey? There we are.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank
Thank you very much. This is a bit overwhelming, believe me. This is wonderful. You know, a few months ago, as a matter of fact, somebody this evening told me that last summer he suggested I do this, and I was very, very reluctant, and I hinted in no way that I was planning to do it, nor did I really want to do it. And a few months after that, then others came to me, and they kept talking about it. And the truth is I have been very, very reluctant, and it wasn't that I was reluctant about our message, because I think our message is powerful. But I really wasn't sure whether I was the right person to do it. And eventually I said, yes, I will. We'll see, and we'll find out if there's anybody out there. I think of the people who believe in true freedom in the way I think of the remnant. And evidently, you know, they say the remnant was out there and nobody could count them and they didn't know where they were and you can't find them, but the remnant will find you and find us. So it looks to me like the remnant is large and growing. Let's, for a minute, assume, which it shouldn't be too great of an assumption, that I defend the Constitution more so than the rest of the attack. But isn't it interesting also that the establishment figure is the one who most defends the Constitution has to be eliminated from the debates? What's going on in this country? You know, I'm not going to ask, but I do know that there are a few people in here who are not traditional Republicans. Some are call themselves independent, some call themselves libertarians, some call themselves even Democrats. There may be some Democrats here. Now, the art of politics is to bring people together. It's not to be divisive. When you're running for an office, if you're overly pure in the sense of, you have to agree A, B, C, D, you have to bring coalitions together. There's no doubt about it. And there are several groups of people that make up an electorate that I think are important this time. I think at the top of the list of the people who are looking for leadership in this country today are dealing with the complications from a very, very flawed foreign policy. And if we look at what happened in the election last year, I think the message was loud and strong that they're sick and tired of the consequences of the foreign policy that we have, and they're looking for something new and different. And, quite frankly, anybody on the Democratic side that really has answered the call to come around and have a different foreign policy, because it looks to me like it's more of the same thing. I think that issue brings a lot of people together. All the various political factions will come together, and right now it looks like probably about 70% of the country is now looking for a different policy, especially in the Middle East, and readjust that. On economic policy, it is something that if you ask almost 100% of the Americans whether they believe in the free enterprise system, you know what? Most Americans believe in the free enterprise system. Too often what happens is, yes, I believe in free enterprise for myself, but for everybody else, but I like special privileges for myself. So, but to really believe in free enterprise, you have to believe in market competition for everybody, and nobody gets subsidies. A lot of times they think subsidies and welfare goes to poor people. Yeah, there's some welfare that goes to poor people, but sometimes I think they're crumbs. The real big welfare in the system that we have goes to the military-industrial complex and the big banks. That's where it goes. But But the market economy should bring people together, especially when it's realized that the system that we have today is ripping off the middle class and the poor. They're the ones who suffer from the inflation and the regulations and all the government interference. So that, to me, is an issue that brings people together. One person told me not too long ago, I think it was said on television, they said, well, you ought to run as a Democrat. And I said, well, why should I run as a Democrat? I'm the most conservative member of the Congress. I said... So they get twisted up. They how to label those of us who believe in liberty, because liberty is really pervasive. It's beneficial to everybody. It's not beneficial to special groups. So if you can vote for less money. Now, there's some very well-known liberal individuals in this country who are coming out and supporting our campaign, which is very interesting. You would say, well, liberals don't like, they like big spending and all. But why would they be coming out and endorsing our campaign now? Quite frankly, because of foreign policy and attacking special interests for the rich and the benefits. So this is a tremendously powerful message. And there's another element that should bring people together, and that is the concept of personal individual liberty. Personal liberty is not a special interest. It's the only interest that really counts. See, I don't like to think of rights being group rights. You're not to defend anybody, but I don't see things like women's rights and minority rights and all this. I just don't think that's possible. Rights are given to individuals. I personally have a belief they come from our Creator. And... which means, then, that your life is your own, and you have your own responsibility. I mean, you have your responsibility of what's going to happen for eternity's sake, so you ought to have a responsibility of what you're going to do here on earth as well. But personal liberty means tolerance as well, because what your neighbor might do might be different than what you do. And you might not like what they do, but if your neighbor or your friends, they do things that you don't approve of, but they don't affect you, if they don't hurt you, if they don't use force on you, they should be permitted to do this. Your job is to take responsibility, and our job is to take the responsibility for ourselves to improve our well-being and improve and work for excellence, and that's what freedom is all about. But which group of people should this bring together? You know, if I say, well, I don't want to regulate your personal life. And you say, what does that mean? I don't want to tell you what you can eat, smoke, and drink, and whatever you want to do. Yeah, that's true. Now, the question is, is this going to offend conservative Christian right? And it should not. And it's something that I've worked on for many, many years in the congressional district, is to believe in individual liberty, not put on sanctions, and not pretend I can regulate your personal moral life and have that appeal to the Christian right. I happen to believe all life is sacred, so therefore I don't believe that small little fetuses can be dropped away without, you know, concern about it. But this idea... This idea of personal liberty, which might allow individuals to do things that others might not approve of, it is also exactly the liberty that we need to practice our religion and to keep the government off our backs on that. You know, back to the concern about, you know, the idea of running for the president and presidency. This means that today the conventional wisdom is, well, we have to have a president to run things. How are you going to run things? You know, what I'd like to be is a president that doesn't even have a goal of running your life, running the economy, or running the world. I want to use all my strength and my conviction and my effort to restrain anybody who uses force illegally, that people not be allowed to try to run other people's lives. And that will take a lot of doing because a lot of people have become dependent on the government. Another issue that I deal with, and now this is in the real world politics, because we might in a group like this agree, you know, we don't need the welfare and we don't need this, leave us alone and it would all be better, and quite frankly I think it would be. But we live in the real world where we have taught generations after generations to be totally dependent on the government. So realistically, you know, you can't just shut off every government health program and whatever for the elderly. But there is a very practical answer for this. Overseas now, to run the American empire, if you add up the DOD budget, if you add up the State Department budget, if you add up what would cost to run the military and take care of the veterans and on, do you know that it's nearing $1 trillion a year to operate overseas while ignoring our borders? So why not we do this? If it's at $1 trillion, let's say that we could have a true national defense for, say, $700 billion, save 700, spend 300 on defense, save 700, put a lot of that to the deficit, bring it home, deal with our borders, and make sure the people that are very dependent take care of them until we can wean them off. I believe that almost every single problem that we're facing today has come about because we haven't been a stickler for the rule of law. We haven't followed the Constitution, and that's what we ought to be doing. And the fact that the problems have been created by the lack of respect for the Constitution, the answers can be found there. They can be found there in foreign policy, on economic policy, property rights, personal liberties, all these things, monetary policy. Can you imagine how great a nation we'd have if we didn't have the Federal Reserve System printing all this money? And it goes without saying that when we have the proper size government and governments function in the proper manner, we certainly wouldn't need the IRS or the 16th Amendment. Government has a role to play, but it should be minimal. The sole purpose of political activity, as far as I'm concerned, should be protection of individual liberty. I think what's happened in this country is we've lost respect for the rule of law, but we've lost respect and confidence in how liberty works. We're always frightened that if the government doesn't provide the safety net, there's going to be more poverty, no housing, and all the things that happened over the last several decades. But this is not necessary. It is so unnecessary. Freedom works. We have lost that confidence where we know and understand that it will work. But there is one admonition that John Adams gave. And he said, for freedom really to work, you have to have a moral society. And so we can come down very hard on our government, and I do, all three branches of the government, but quite frankly, even our candidacy here, if we're successful, it still requires an endorsement from the people. And that's where I had been reluctant. I did not know where the numbers would be. I did not know whether the money would be there. I did not understand the internet, but I have been educated in the last few weeks. And we do know that truth wins out in the end, but I didn't know that there were so many so ready to receive the truth about what's going on in this country. But it truly gives me hope, and that's what we need. We have lived and been blessed to live in a country that has been really great. We are fortunate that we had the founders that we did that understood what personal liberty was all about. They even understood what habeas corpus meant. And unfortunately, we moved into this era where they're endorsing torture and getting rid of habeas corpus, warrantless searches, national ID cards. And I think the American people are catching on. You know, the national ID card was voted on overwhelmingly, but now do you know, I'll bet you do, that a lot of states are now condemning it, won't participate. They're waking up. People are waking up. You know, I don't know how this will end. That is the truth. I could come up here and say, I absolutely know how it's going to turn out. I don't know, and you don't know, but I do know that the message is good. The message of liberty is good. We've lived in a great country. We need to fall back on the traditions of our Constitution and the traditions of America. And we will do well. But I am quite confident now that the numbers are a lot larger than I ever believed. I think we're moving in the right direction. Though very, very reluctant at the beginning, and you know, in some ways, I think that not being overly eager to be the president is not necessarily bad, because I think too often they're overly eager and they shouldn't be there. But all I can tell you is that it's moving faster and more furiously than I ever dreamed. I do promise that I will continue to deliver the message. I will continue to be as consistent as possible, and I will continue to stay in there as long as our numbers keep growing. Thank you very much.
That was Mr. Ron Paul at the fundraiser down at the Texas Museum Saturday night in Austin, Texas. And I don't know about you folks, but if this man is not the President of the United States in 2008, well then maybe you should stick a fork in us, because we're done. We're over with. But if you listen to his message, you want to know why this is resonating with Democrats as well as Republicans across the country and independents? Listen to the issues that he talked about. The national ID card. All of these issues that have been taken from us, that are God-given rights in this country, ladies and gentlemen, not granted to us by government. And Ron Paul, he is correct when he says that the number one job of the federal government is to making sure that your rights are in place, not stealing and robbing them for light and transient reasons, not the boogeyman hiding behind the bushes. This is part of the deal, by the way, with the national ID. Well, that's why they want it pushed through. That's because, well, if you've got the ears to hear, listen what Mr. Bush is saying to you. He is saying that, well, we need these illegals, I'm sorry, these immigrants in this country because of economics. We need them economically. Why do you think he's saying that? Because they are here to bust up the unions. They are here to take American jobs. They are going to be here to take jobs from Americans. They're not being paid real well in those jobs right now, but I guarantee you, the illegals in this country is going to do it for a whole lot less. That's because you can stick 15 people in a house. Do many Americans do that? You might have some extended families living with you, but I guarantee you don't have 10, 12, 15 people living in your house. These people, they do not want to assimilate to this culture, folks. They don't even want to speak the language. They're here to take back what they think still belongs to them. And if they were so enamored with the fact that, well, they like America so much, they like the United States so much, why don't you go back to Mexico, all 35 million of you? I will personally give up a personal firearm and a sack lunch and give you a few dollars. You can march down across the border down in Mexico. Take the country back from the seven crime families that run your country. And then we can be good buds and pals. By the way, I'd like to thank Terry at Be Real Films for sending that over to me. He is located at 9807 North FM 620, number 20202 in Austin, Texas. Thank you, Terry, for that. We appreciate it very much. We'll take this break, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Hey, America, how does it feel to be flushed down the toilet of political intrigue and treachery into the sewer of slavery and bondage, where perverts and the godless write the rules? Our unborn children are murdered, our esteemed elders are euthanized, and everyone in between is numbered and tracked like criminals so they can be farmed by government, credit, healthcare organizations, like the chicken farmer farms his chickens. Have you had enough? Is it time to declare your liberty? It's your choice, you know. The only place to begin to declare your independence is to have enough food stored so that you never have to go stand in a bread line to give away the rest of your life or sell your children for a bowl of rice and a slice of bread. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
From the Republic Broadcasting Network. Broadcasting Network. Broadcasting
now you have the time to review every spoken word
on any RBN program
by ordering CDs of any broadcast in either standard audio or MP3 format. Audio CDs are just $10 per hour,
$15 for 2 hours,
and $7 when you order 3 or more hours. An entire month of your favorite broadcaster in MP3 format for just $20. So order right. Republic Broadcasting, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. That address again is Republic Broadcasting, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Or for more information, call 1-800-724-2719.
And on the web at rbnlive.com.
Order your CDs today because you can handle the truth.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898. You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the Real Talk Radio Show.
I'll take a call or two here, and then I want to read to you what Bush has done with the continuity plan of government. And the reason I'm going to do this story, ladies and gentlemen, is because I sincerely believe that the globalist agenda, they'll stop at nothing with continuing to trounce the United States, stamp it into the ground. And are they going to pull some shenanigans to pull martial law off, and which would give President Bush, that's right, no expiration date on his presidency. Until the emergency is over, Mr. Bush remains president. That is the danger. When I heard Nancy Pelosi say that, the impeachment process is off the table, and then to watch them turn on their Democrats that put them in office, as somebody suggested, and I think I was the one that did it, we will stack security around Ron Paul like cordwood. They'll have to drop a nuclear bomb on him to get rid of him. This is, if you understand the power behind this, you'll understand how much danger this man is in and how much courage that it takes to step up to the plate in these times in this country. But it is going to be the fellow Americans out there that make sure that nothing happens to Ron Paul and to keep pushing. Because this is it, folks, in my estimation. We're so far down the rabbit hole right now that until we get a strong leadership in Washington, D.C., and the people in this country once again discover their backbone and that little-known thing that flew out the window with the baby and the bathwater, hope, until that time the people reacquaint themselves with that and then understand that we, the people, that isn't just something in the preamble to the Constitution. That means us. This is our government. This is our country. It doesn't belong to a band of criminals. It doesn't belong to the globalists. It doesn't belong to some shyster lawyers. It doesn't belong to AIPAC. It doesn't belong to the people that are up there in their $4,000, $5,000 suits with the Gucci shoes representing corporate America that's stealing everything from us. That's how important this is. That's how important it is this man get into office. Charles in Louisiana. Hello, Charles.
How you doing, sir?
Good.
Listen, you really got a good show today. But here's the thing. If they hurt him, they have to hurt all of us. I never did have faith in him just till lately, hearing your show today. But I tell you one thing. He's the only hope. And if people don't do something today, they need to step back and drown themselves, Mr. John.
I'm telling
you. We have a chance to do this today, and if they threaten him, they threaten every American.
That's right.
And another thing, God said, if you turn from me, I'll raise an army against you. These aliens, that's what he's raising against us, because we lost hope. We lost dignity in ourselves. And today's the day we should get it back. Everybody do something. Make phone calls. Support the show. I have a little hope today. You gave me a little more hope. Since that truckers rally, I was really down, Joanna. I cried. My heart was crushed. But I feel a little more hope today. And I thank you for the show. And I thank you for that hope. And everybody can have the same hope. Let's get on it. Let's do something, Mr. Joanna.
Charles,
thank you.
Imagine this, Charles, that people, once again, they find the enthusiasm that they have when they're watching their favorite NBA playoff team.
Right.
Or their favorite football team or their baseball team or whatever. What a lot of people miss this. What is really attractive about sports? It's not necessarily the winning or the losing. It's the opportunity to get out there and scream and jump up and down with your fellow Americans. Unfortunately, it's centered around sports, and we can shift that. But imagine this, Charles. The next time that it's suggested that we have a boycott or we have a truck out, that many more people are on board and saying, you know what? No, we're going to take part in this. We're tired of this crap. This kind of thing can spread into many aspects of our lives in this country.
Yes, sir.
And I'm juiced. I got to tell you.
I am, too. But listen, that next rally, I talked to the lady, and it's going to be better next time, Mr. John.
Absolutely.
It's going to be better.
Absolutely.
And thank you for this. Listen, and I love your show. And look, today, I feel strength, and thank you for that, John.
That's what this is all about. This is about reacquainting ourselves, and we're not victims anymore. Damn it, this is my country, and I'm taking the thing back.
God bless you, John.
Thank
God
you, Charles.
Bless you.
Appreciate your call very much. Yes. Charles has been one of those guys, man, that has been hanging in there, has been trying his best to wake people up. Imagine 1,000, 10,000, 100,000 Charleses working in this country to one goal, getting this constitutional republic back on track. How about keeping the money that you earn? How about getting rid of the IRS? Did you hear Mr. Paul? Have you listened to his speeches? What he wants to do with the Fed Reserve? Do you know the inherent danger in that? I'll tell you, there is only a few people that I would take a bullet for in this country. One is my wife, and of course, the 17-year-old. Forget the dogs and the cats. No. I'd take a bullet for Ron Paul in a New York second. As a matter of fact, at this rally, I was talking to a retired Northwest. He retired on his own volition. We're going to have him up as a guest here probably this week. But a former military guy, colonel, flew with Northwest, flew 747s. He said, when Ron Paul gets elected He said, I want to be his chief pilot. And the only thing I had to say to him is that I want to ride a couple of times on Air Force One in the jump seat. And I'd be proud to have you as a pilot. He said, that would be my ultimate life dream, to be the captain of Ron Paul's 747. Now, there you go, folks. I mean, God. Bill in Texas. Hello, Bill.
Hello?
Yes.
John, I've been listening to your informative Ron Paul session, and it's great. I've heard you give out a website and a telephone number, but I was wondering whether you had an address that we could send money to.
That is a very good question, and I'll tell you what, we'll have to go up to Ron Paul's website. It should be posted there. There's a lot of work that needs to be done on his website. But we will get the address that people can send contributions over to his campaign. But I'm sure that you can get it. For lack of that right now, if you called 1-800-RON-PAUL, I'm sure that you could talk to somebody that can give you an address.
Okay. Well, keep up the good work. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Bill. I appreciate your call.
Right.
All right. By the way, one of the guys was the caller last hour, Bill Kozlowski. Hello, Bill. I know you're listening to the show, and his brother John up there. He was the one who called in, and he said he was on Norm Jones's show on WTCM Radio 580. I misspoke. I said 850, but it's 580, and it covers half the state of Michigan and into Wisconsin. And it also covers the rich people's area up there in Michigan. Yeah, we know where you're at. And I'm sending that information over to Kent Snyder, that's been on Ron Paul's, he's been with Ron Paul for 20 years. And I talked to these people earlier today, and I'm getting a lot of requests here to get Ron Paul on the air. Now, the problem is that he has very limited time to do radio programming. Now, Kent Snyder can sub. Jesse Denton can sub. I talked to Derry Brownfield, which has 65 stations out there, and he's going to be on Derry Brownfield for the full hour. I talked to his producer today. He'll be on 65 radio stations talking to millions of people out there. And if for nothing else, if I can serve to set up radio interviews, because I know the political paradigm out there, folks. If there's anybody that could probably be a real asset to Ron Paul's campaign, and I'm not saying that he doesn't have good people, because he does have good people working with him. But if there's anything that I can do in a capacity to help this guy get elected, boy, I'll tell you what. And I'm having a little fantasy here. Remember in The Line of Fire with, Clint Eastwood? Yeah, he was the Secret Service agent that had to run alongside the limousine, and people kept chiding him. Aren't you getting a little old for this? Not to take a bullet. I'll do anything for this guy. It doesn't matter. If this guy gets the presidency of the United States and we keep him healthy and breathing in that capacity, could you imagine the change that would take place in this country? Oh, it's going to have its pratfalls and its pitfalls, that's for sure, because he's going to make a lot of enemies out there, just as JFK did with the international banksters, just as Abe Lincoln did the same thing. Well, there's a lot of people that are not going to want to see this man as president. But again, let me repeat the words, we the people. This is our government. This is our country. We may look like strangers in a strange land right now, something like Heinlein would write, but we can take this country back. We can get it back. I don't want to see Ron Paul run for governor of Texas. That'd be a good stopgap measure. We could imagine that the power that we'd have from the bully pulpit in the Oval Office to these state governors out here. Could you imagine him holding court with the state governors? Very interesting times. Let me see. Is there anything else I have to do here? So at any rate, Bill Kozlowski, hey, thank you very much. And I also had, if I can find it here in front of me, people that are out there that have the ability to talk to their GOP in their own state. If you have influence, you have friends that have influence, talk to them. Let's get this thing rolling. Let's get the GOP behind Ron Paul. because he's beating the snot out of them. The more FaceTime this guy gets, the more the Mitt Romneys, the Rudy Giulianis, the Sam Brownbacks, the clown from Phoenix. Actually, this guy, he just did his political career in. He's a Republican, but he's crossed over way, way over into the enemy camp. And he's made himself a political pariah. I'm talking about John McCain. This man has just shot himself in the foot, and any aspirations he had for the presidency are now gone. Let Rudy Giuliani keep going after Ron Paul. Great FaceTime. Let's get the real debates going here. By the way, this is the Presidential Campaign Committee, and I'm assuming this is in Texas. I have Ron Paul, 2008, at 837 West Plantation Drive in Clute, Texas. That isn't Clutie. I made the mistake of coming down here and saying Buda one day, and the people from Buda almost strung me up. No, that's Clute, Texas, 77531, and that's the Presidential Campaign Committee. By the way, I'd like to thank Gus Bear for giving my wife and me a ticket so we could attend that down there Saturday night. I had an opportunity. Probably I took up too much time of Ron Paul's time, but it worked out well. We appreciate Ron Paul definitely coming into Austin, Texas. And I think he'll be back this way before all said and done. And instead of 750 people, we need to find a better venue, a bigger venue. I'd like to see 7,000 or 8,000 people the next time around. And that's not pie-in-the-sky stuff, folks. That's a reality. That can happen. And the more this starts to spread, and the more people are getting the idea, well, why can't this work? The more you're going to see the numbers continue to grow. Because he's crossing the aisles on so many different issues. People are flat out tired. You know, when I was at the Republican National Convention back in 2004 up in New York City, having an opportunity to talk to the older conservative Republicans up there about waving the banners for George Bush, it didn't fail. When I had time to talk to these people individually, there started to be a lot of raised eyebrows. You're up here clamoring for four more years for George Bush. Do you know who this man is? Do you know what he's really about? When I talked to these people about it, they had cause for pause, and they started to agree with me. Imagine the message of freedom, liberty, limited government, constitution, what to do about the problems inside the United States, what to do about foreign policy overseas. The only thing that George Bush has made the entire world do is hate this country. So was Ron Paul off the mark when he made the comments about 9/11 on that 15th of May debate on Fox News that Rudy Giuliani demanded that he retract that? Could you imagine this guy having the audacity to say that? When Ron Paul gets more FaceTime and more airtime, the Rudy Giulianis are going to fade into the dust. And Rudy's no small-time politico either. He is very well connected. Very well connected. So there you are. The Ron Paul 2008. This is the Campaign Committee, Presidential Campaign Committee headquarters in Clute, Texas. 837 West Plantation Drive. Clute is spelled C-L-U-T-E, Texas. 77531. So there you now have the address. The website is ronpaul2008.com, and the toll-free number is 800-RON-PAUL. So there you have it. Let me take another call here, and I want to get to this article on the other side of this break. Speaking of which, we'll make it up to our advertisers. Skip this break. I'll take Cecil quickly, and then I want to get this article. Hello, Cecil.
John.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
You were speaking of hope. We need to look to the Lord Jesus Christ for hope. We've thrown him out of the schools, the churches, the courts, and basically our country. We need to turn back to him.
Well, and I'm in agreement with you, but I think, as I've stated on this program, Cecil, too many times, as I think the good Lord sitting up there in the lofty clouds looking down at us with a perplexed look on his face, with his arms folded, going, I gave you guys everything. What's your deal? I think he's waiting for us to make a move.
I wholeheartedly agree. And I have been known to say that the helping hand of God is at the end of your own arm.
He helps those that help themselves.
And I am connected. I'm on the executive committee of the Arizona Republican Party, and I'm going to be doing everything I can to promote Ron Paul.
Well, he's I'll tell you what, he does not deny God.
No.
He is not making that a big issue in his campaign because, well, you know how divided we are in this country.
Yes.
But he does not deny his maker, that's for sure.
That is true.
Yeah.
And for that, I really commend him.
He's, you know, if you mention Jesus Christ in friendly circumstance, yeah, it's no big deal. But to the general public, you mention Jesus Christ, I swear that you can hear vinyl sucking up off of chairs across the country. You can talk about Buddha, you can talk about anything else, but you mention old Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and boy, it's like you just said the worst words possibly a human could utter. That's where we're at in this country right now, and I do believe that this country finds its moral compass again. I think you're going to see things magically change. I think you're going to see the power of God move through this country like Hurricane Katrina did, but without the damage, with all the restoration, none of the damage.
I wholeheartedly agree.
All right, Cecil, I thank you so much, and talk them up to these GOP people.
I will do that.
All righty. Hey, thanks for your call very
much.
Thank
you.
Appreciate it. Yeah. There's going to be all kinds of people in this fight, folks, all kinds of people. Bush changes continuity plan. This is our current president here. He changes the continuity plan administration, not Department of Homeland Security, would run the shadow government. And this is by Spencer S. Hugh, and this is in the Washington Post. He's a staff writer. President Bush issued a former national security directive yesterday ordering agencies to prepare contingency plans for a surprise decapitating attack on the federal government. I'm sorry, I thought we were decapitated to begin with. Oh, I'm sorry, decapitating the federal government. And assigned responsibility for coordinating such plans to the White House. The prospect of a nuclear bomb being detonated in Washington without warning, and some people suggested that may be a good thing, whether smuggled in by terrorists or a foreign government, has been cited by many security analysts as a rising concern since September 11, 2001 attacks. You people on the 9/11 issue, you keep plugging away, because that makes this look like what it is. If it smells like it, looks like it, it probably is. Now, the order makes explicit that the focus of federal worst-case planning involves a covert nuclear attack against the nation's capital, in contrast with the Cold War assumptions that a long-range strike would be preceded by notice of minutes or hours as missiles were fueled and launched. As a result of the asymmetric threat environment, adequate warning of potential emergencies that could pose a significant risk to the homeland might not be available, and therefore all continuity planning shall be based on the assumption that no such warning will be received, states the 72-paragraph order. It is designated National Security Presidential Directive 51 and Homeland Security Presidential Directive 20. The statement added, emphasis will be placed upon geographic dispersion of leadership, staff, infrastructures in order to increase survivability and maintain uninterrupted government functions. After the 2001 attacks, Bush assigned over 100 senior civilian managers to rotate secretly to locations outside of Washington for weeks or months at a time to ensure the nation's survival, a shadow government that evolved based on long-standing continuity of operation plans. Since then, other agencies, including the Pentagon, the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, and the CIA, have taken steps to relocate facilities or key functions outside of Washington for their own reasons, citing factors such as economics or the importance of avoiding beltway groupthink. Norman J. Orenstein, a scholar at the American Enterprise Institute and an advisor to the Independent Continuity of Government Commission, said the order is more explicit embrace of what has been since 9/11 as implicit but fairly clear set of assumptions. Now, he added, my frustration is that those assumptions have not gripped the Congress in the same way. Other former Bush administration officials said the directives formalize a shift of authority away from the Department of Homeland Security to the White House. And you people thought Homeland Security was bad? Take a look at the dictator we have in the Oval Office. Under the executive order dating to the Reagan administration, responsibility for coordinating, implementing, and exercising such plans was originally charged to the Federal Emergency Management Agency and later the Department of Homeland Security. The Congressional Research Service noted that in 2005 report on a pending DHS reorganization, the new directive gives the job of coordinating policy to the President's Assistant for Homeland Security and Counterterrorism, Francis Fragos Townsend, who will assume the title of National Continuity Coordinator in consultation with Bush's National Security Advisor, Stephen J. Hadley, with the support of the White House Homeland Security Council staff. Townsend is to produce an implementation plan within 90 days. Homeland Security Secretary Michael Chertoff will continue to coordinate operations and activities, the directive said. Folks, there is a real danger for the globalists out there and their tool puppet, this fool Bush, in the White House right now. I do not put it past them to set up another false flag terrorism event inside this country. And that would give you Mr. Bush well in and past 2008. That is the danger there. And what did Ron Paul talk about in his 15th of May on Fox News that Rudy Giuliani took great exception to? It's our foreign policy and how we're conducting it, who we're occupying, and why they don't like us. If this continues the way it has been with this foreign policy, this fool on the hill, Mr. George W. Bush, we may see a nuclear attack in this country, but I think this is false flag. But I don't put it past the operatives to do exactly that and to plunge this country into martial law. That's how dangerous I think Mr. Ron Paul is. I think that button may be pushed because of him. That's why it's more important than ever that the people that are doing the 9/11 stuff, you continue to do what you're doing. Make some time, though. Carve out some time to put this guy in the White House, the guy that should be there. But everybody that's, and I've never minimized anybody and what they're doing out there trying to educate our fellow Americans. Because after September 11, 2001, this country did change. Not for the better, but for the worst. And it's only going to continue to get worse, ladies and gentlemen. Been paying attention to today's news. Oh, that's right. Israel is bombing the Gaza Strip again. They revamped the figures on Iran, by the way. Oh, it looks like Iran's going to have nuclear capability in less than a year. See, it was 10 years out, according to the best intelligence that the CIA collected before. About UN inspectors were over there. Everybody agreed that, hey, they're 5 to 10 years out, best. Now they've reduced that down to one. The emergency, the upcoming emergency in the Middle East, we've got to take more action, which means we're not going to move the 17 bases that are in Iraq. We're going to continue to do what we're doing over there right now to our peril. The only thing that this president has managed to do in the 6 years, 7 years that he's been in office is to make the entire planet hate us. That's all that he's done. How's that for your world peace? Put that in your pipe and smoke it, Mr. Bush. You're gone. You're out of here. You're archaic. You're part of the globalists, part of the international banksters that you feed on the death and destruction of peoples and their cultures. You people are done. We'll stick a fork in you. You're gone. World peace, you want world peace? Start treating people like they're human beings rather than just targets on some computerized game. These are real people. You've managed to kill over 700,000 Iraqis over there. The country is embroiled in a civil war, and it has the potential of spreading. Why? Because they hate our freedom? No, Mr. Bush, you hate our freedom. You hate America. And I'll repeat what I heard on C-SPAN. You should be charged with treason, because that's what you are. You treasonous bastard. And there better be a hell, because I want to see you burning in that forever. You've only spent about, what, 60-some years on the face of this earth? Guess what? Hell is real hot, and it lasts a lot longer. Hope you enjoy the ride. That'll do it for us today, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back with you tomorrow with another edition of the National Intel Report. We'll see you then.